Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Kuf Aleph Amud Bet. Last two words. Amar Rova, Ger dan et chaveiro dvar Torah. A ger is allowed to adjudicate a case for another ger mina Torah. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, Som tasim alecha melech, asher yivchar Hashem lokecha bo, mikerev achecha tasim alecha melech. Alecha hu dbeinan mikerev achecha. So the basic principle is that when it says Som tasim alecha melech, that you should place upon yourselves a king, that king that you choose or that Hashem helps you to choose has to be from amongst your brethren. So from amongst your brethren, you place upon yourself a king. So their requirement is that the king be Jewish. And be Jewish not only in the sense that they are Jewish, but they are lineage-wise, they are Jewish, that means mikerev achecha. So that requirement is true by a king, to the exception of a ger dan et chaviro, because it's only for you, those that are from Klal Yisrael, those from amongst Klal Yisrael, that you have the requirement of mikerev achecha. But for another ger, a ger does not have that requirement. The Gemara earlier on, back on Daf Mem Hei, said there and in other places in Shas, talks about the fact that any srera, any type of leadership position requires Som tasim alecha melech mikerev achecha, that has to be from amongst your brethren. It's not limited here to king. It has to do with any position of power requires that the person be miyuchas, or vichus from Yisrael. Rashi over here says that the Gemara, when it says ger dan et chaveiro, says dine nefashot. That's only a reference to capital crimes, but not to dine mimonot, afilu chol Yisrael. When it comes to dinim and monot, a ger can adjudicate without any problem. He can adjudicate for anybody, not just a ger. It's only by dinim nefashot that this limitation exists. Tosafot back on Memhei says that's not the case, and he subdivides the ger's abilities into different categories. Here it says that he can only be dan et chaveiro. That refers to dinim nefashot. Tosafot then says if he has a mother who is from Israel, then he can be done dine mimonot. Not like Rashi who says that he can be done dine mimonot no matter what. Tosafot says that it's only in the case where his mother is from Israel. His father was a ger. I mean, here when we're talking about ger, not necessarily talking about a convert, we're talking about someone whose yichus is that from converts. And so we're talking about parents here. It's not the individual themselves that converted. They could also convert. That would disqualify them as well. But if their parents for converts, they would not be considered to be mikarev achecha. So here, if Imo Yisrael, if his mother was lineage-wise, she was a Yisraelite, I mean that once you go past generation, then already it's not a problem, and then she's already an Yisraelite. It's only that first generation, if the child is born from that first generation, that they're considered to be not Yisrael, I mean, in terms of being born to Gerim, or to be born outside of the context of Yisrael. If he's Imo Yisrael, if his mother was a Jew, then it's not a problem, and it can be done dinei mimonot. But for king, and also for our case here of Chalitza, where ger is precluded, there you need both parents to be Yisrael. And if both parents are Yisrael, then it's fine to be mikerev achecha, to be for a king, or for Chalitza. So I suppose the Rashi just sees this all being about dinei nefashot, otherwise he's permitted to be a judge. Tosafot sees that there are other levels, and this, yes, talks about dinim fashot, but dinim manot also has a requirement that at minimum, imo is mi Israel. So now the Gemara continues, v'im imo haita mi Israel, dan afilu Israel. Now, if his mother is from Israel, then he can be dan, even Israel. So Rashi is going to read this as being that for dinim fashot, if his mother from is Israel, then he can even be dan Israel. Tosafot says, no, it's not referring to dinei fashot, it's only referring to dinei mimonot. Uleinyan chalitza, as we mentioned just now, that with regards to chalitza, achei aviv v'imo mi'israel. That you need both parents to be mi'israel, shenemar, v'nikra shemo bi'israel. Because over there it says that his name should be called amongst Israel. So because of nikra shemo bi'israel, Rashi says, mashmashe Israel mikol stadin. It has to be bih Israel, amongst, or within Israel. That means that the judges, who are the ones that this is done in front of, have to be Israel from all aspects, from all directions. The brothers have a slightly different girsa over here that said Bitshrei Yisrael Ktive, that the pasuk has the word Yisrael written twice, and so because of that, we have a demand that he be Israeli from both sides. It'd be his mother and his father also have to be from Yisrael. Amar Rabo, Amar Rav Kahana, Amar Rav, Im Yavo Eliyahu V'yomar Chotzim B'min Al Shomim Lo. Eliyahu Navi comes along and tells us that you're allowed to use a shoe. We will listen to him. Ein Chotzim B'Sandal. If he tells us you're not allowed to use a sandal, Ein Shomim Lo, then we don't listen to him. Shavar Nagu'am B'Sandal. Because the people's practice is already to use a sandal. Rav Yosef Amar, Amar Rav Kahana, Amar Rav, Im Yavo Eliyahu V'yomar, Ein Chutzim B'min'al Shomim Lo. He comes along and tells us that you're not allowed to use a min'al. Then we listen to him. Ein Chutzim B'tzandal, Ein Shomim Lo. But if he comes and tells us you're not allowed to use the sandal, we don't listen to him. Shvar Nagu'am B'sandal. Because people already have the practice to use a sandal. So here you have two lishonot inside of Rav Kahana Marav. The first one is Rabo. The other one is Rav Yosef. Rav and Rav Yosef are contemporaries. They're arguing about what this Mesorah from Rav Kahana Marav is. So both of them agree to the second statement, which is, if he comes along and says you cannot be choletz with a sandal, we will ignore that because that's already the practice of the people to use a sandal. Question with regard to min'al, with a shoe. What does Eliyahu say? In the case of Rabo, Eliyahu says that if he comes along and says, you're allowed to use a min'al, then we would listen to him. On the other hand, the way Rav Yosef says it, if he comes along and says that a min'al is a sur, then we would listen to him. My benayu. What's the nafkamina between these two shitot? Iku benayu min'al dechatchila. That is today, whether we would use a shoe dechatchila. So the way that the phraseology of what Eliyahu Navi says will tell us what they think. So in the case of Rabbo, where he says, if Eliyahu comes and says, you can use a min'al, we would listen to him, meaning that the default right now is not to use it. The default is that only b'diavad, is it okay? Eliyahu comes and tells us it's super okay, that it's a chatchila, then we would listen to him. The other hand, Rav Yosef says that if Eliyahu comes and says, don't use it, then we would stop using it. But until that point, we would be fine using it, we would use it even l'chatchila. So that's the shita of Rav Yosef. Uleman da'amar lechatchila. According to the one who says that it's lechatchila, batznan. What about our Mishnah? The one who says b'diavad, it's okay. That's exactly what our Mishnah says. But if you say now that min'al, like Rav Yosef says, is totally fine, even lechatchila, then what do you do with our Mishnah? Mishnah says chalitza b'min'al, chalitzata k'shera. That if you use a shoe, then the chalitza is fine. Di'avad in lechatchila lo. That's only b'diavad, because it's written in the past tense, which is chalitzata k'shera. Then if it's what's done, is done, and it's a good chalitza, but we would not recommend that lechatchila. So he answers, hu adin dafilu lechatchila. Our Mishnah means even lechatchila, you can use a min'al. Pa'aydi debay limitna seifa ban filia chalitzata psula. Because in the latter half of the Mishnah, where it says that wearing socks or slippers does not work at all, there it wants to say dafilu diavad. There it doesn't work even b'diavad. So again, in a stroke of consistent and parallel structure here in the Mishnah, since it had to use the lashona b'diavad by the socks or slippers, therefore it also used the taninami resha diavad. Then it also used the same type of language with regards to the minau, but b'chatchila in ochanami you could use a shoe. And the Mishnah is not trying to be sholel, it's not trying to discard that possibility, just because of parallel structure that the language is written b'diavad, even though you really could even use it, lechatchila. Umin'al lechatchila, and this issue of whether you can use a shoe lechatchila, tinayehi, is a machloket tanaim, detanya. Amar Rabbi Yosi, pama achat, halachti l'nitzivin. There's one time that I went to this place called Nitzivim. Matzati zaken echad, I found one of the elders of the city. Amarti lo, klum ata buki b'Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira. Are you familiar with Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira who came from Nitzivim? Amar lihein, he says, yes, I'm very familiar with him. Val shulchani hu tadir. He used to frequently be a guest of mine. He used to eat by me frequently. So I know him well. So klum ra'ita shechalatz b'yivama. Says, did you ever see him perform chalitza with a yivama? Amar li, Ra'iti shechalatz harbei pe'amim. I saw him perform chalitza numerous times. I'm very familiar with him. I know exactly what he did, and I saw him perform chalitza many times. So then Rabbi Yossi poses the question, mimin au o bisandal? What did he use when he did the chalitza? Did he use a shoe or did he use a sandal? So Amar Li, so now he responds to me, v'chi chotzim bimin au? Since when do you use a shoe? So now the question about the continuing girsa here, what we have written in our Gemara is, v'atora amra, ne'alo v'lo min'alo. So he brings back up to this statement here, and he says, since when can you use a shoe? The Torah uses the word na'al, and you're asking me about a min'al. So this is very interesting. He says, had the Torah used the lashon of min'al, then you would have said a shoe is included. That's not what the Torah uses. The Torah uses the word na'al, and therefore that's not a shoe. The implications here are difficult, and that's why it's erased. You can see that here. Rashi, you can see here, the reason that it's been eliminated from our Gemara is Rashi says that's the wrong girsa. That you can't keep this in the girsa. And he makes definitive statements here. One is, she'ein min al katuv b'chol ha-Torah, ela na'alo. The word min al never shows up in the Torah ever. The word min al is not a Torah word. It's a rabbinic word. The min al lashon chachamim. That min al, a shoe, is lashon of the Chachamim, lashon of the Mishnah, lashon of the Gemara. It is not a lashon of Torah. The word na'al is lashon of Torah. So for you to say that the Torah only says na'al and never says min'al, that there's no relevance to that. The Torah never uses the word min'al that to say that, oh, it used na'al instead of min'al, and never uses min'al to say that. And he goes on to prove and to show you that throughout Tanakh, the word na'al is used. There is one time that the word min'al shows up. That is in Zota Bracha, which says, Barzel unechoshet mina'alecha. So there, when it says, Barzel unechoshet mina'alecha, Rashi says, it's not referring to a shoe. Over there, when the Torah uses the word mina'alecha, doesn't mean from your shoe, but mina'alecha means from your lock. From the word briach, to lock something up. Which, again, we know the word lin'ol means to lock up. Or min'al is a lock. So he says, Rashi says, that's the only time the Torah uses that lashon, and that lashon is a lashon of a lock, not of a shoe. So Rashi says, the question's not relevant. How can he say, oh, the Torah amra ne'alo velo min'alo? Of course the Torah says na'alo, because the Torah has no other way to say that. It never uses the word min'al, and the fact that it doesn't use min'al is not relevant over here. So that's why Rashi eliminates it from the girsa, as well as many of the Rishonim. There are those that leave it in, and suggest that the Torah says, ne'alo, it's not telling you because of the Lashon and not min'al, but it's saying, what is the default? And I mentioned this in the Mishnah. What's the default na'al of the Torah? The default shoe wear, footwear of the Torah is a sandal, because that's what everybody wore. So when the Torah says, ne'alo, it means a sandal and not a shoe, because min'al is not the word that it's looking for. Now, even though that's Lashon Chachamim, it's not saying because it didn't use the word min'al. Just simply, the Torah doesn't know what a min'al is because everybody was wearing a sandal. So the word na'alo, to put something on your foot or footwear, is by definition a sandal. So those that leave it in would have to express it in that way. So the question being posed, at least over here, is that chil chotzim b'min'al, since when can you use a shoe? There is another girsa, an alternate girsa in the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi has the question B, can you use a sandal? And then, of course, the question is not relevant anymore. Because we're not talking about a shoe. I mean, now we're talking about a sandal. So over here, that's the other possibility, which make the whole Gemara flow easier, which is, v'chotzim b'sandal. Okay, but that's not our girsa. Our girsa says, v'chotzim b'min'al. You can see that in the Gra. It talks about the different girsaot over here. So it says, since when can you use a shoe? Amarti lo. Imkein ma rabba, maybe, meyer lo mar. So he said, I said back to him, if that's the case, that a shoe's off limits, then what did Rabbi Meir mean to say here? Chatzah b'minhal, chalitztah sheira. That if he uses shoe, then the b'diavad, the chalitza is okay. Rabbi Yaakov omer mishmo. Rabbi Yaakov says in the name of Rabbi Meir, chotzim b'minhal l'chatchila. That you're allowed to use a min'al l'chatchila. So now here you have actually three opinions with regards to min'al. You have Rabbi Yaakov, the name of Rabbi Meir, saying it's fine l'chatchila. You have Rabbi Meir saying that it is good b'diavad. And then you have this elder from Nitzivin who's saying that, why would you ever use a shoe for chalitza? It's not using it. That's what we said before. It's a tanae. It's a machloka tanaim as to whether the chatchila, the shoe, is used. That is this machloka between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yaakov. And again, we have this deyar, this individual in Nitzivin, who says that you can't even think you can even use it at all. But Rabbi Yossi says, well then, otherwise, what do these Tanaim mean? The one who says that you're not allowed to use a shum, but b'diabad it is okay, my taima. What's the reason? It must be a reason that's not deoraita. Because if it's mina Torah, the Torah only has black and white. Either is good or it isn't good. So b'diabad already must be an imposition of the chachamim, and that means that we're dealing with the gzerat chachamim. So ilayim mishum davia pinta me'al. Because if you say that the shoe is considered to be mi'al raglo, when you take off something from the foot, so then if you take off the gav, then when you take it off, you're taking off from the foot. On the other hand, if you have to untie the shoelaces, like our shoes today, they are sitting on top of the shoe itself. And especially if you have a tongue in there, or if you have a big piece of leather and then you have the shoelaces on top, when you undo the shoelaces, you haven't taken the shoe, you haven't slipped the shoe off the foot. All you've done is loosened the laces of the shoe that surrounds the foot. So your suggestion is that because it's not removing the shoe from the foot, but rather removing or loosening the laces that are on top of the shoe itself, maybe that would disqualify it. But Torah amra mi'au, lo mi'au de mi'au. But the Torah says that you have to take the shoe off the foot, not from what is on top of the foot. I mean, it can't be once removed. It can't be derivative to that. It can't be that you're taking off what takes off the item that's on the foot. You have to take off directly the item that's on the foot. So if you think that is the disqualification, because the Torah says you have to take it off mi'al raglo, yachi afilu diavad na'amilo, then in that case, even b'diavad it should be disqualified. Again, the Torah only talks in black and white. If you tell me this is a limud min haTorah, that would tell you that if you can't do it, you can't do it, period. Ella, what is it? Gzeira mishum min al mirufat. The problem is because of a loose shoe. That's the way I would translate it loosely. Rashi says mirupat comes from the word mivuka or karua, that it's torn or ripped. So the reason that mirupat would also be loose because it's torn or ripped, but it's not clear if it means only because it's a ruined shoe, then it's a problem. Or even if the shoe itself is just simply loose, that's enough to disqualify it here. So our fear is that if you use a loose shoe, then the removal of the shoe from the foot isn't necessary because the foot is not really in the shoe. It's not really in the shoe, you're not removing it. Or is the fact that it's a ripped shoe or a wrecked shoe, therefore it's not considered to be a shoe because it's not really functional like it was before, and therefore it's not considered to be a shoe. But because of that fear, we don't allow you to use the shoe the chadchila because of this possibility. By a sandal, you're not going to have that problem because the only way to keep the sandal on the foot is to actually strap it onto the foot. So once it's strapped onto the foot, then when you undo the strap, the sandal comes away and you can't walk with the sandal unless it is strapped onto the foot. It'll fall away because of the nature of the way that it's made. Inami mishum chatsi minal, or because we fear for a small shoe, which is that you only have half a shoe over here, not a full shoe. And because of that, we're worried about the fact that if you use the shoe, you won't get a full shoe. Samarav, ilav dechamite, dechavivi dechalatz besandal, deidle shinsin, analohavi chalitzna. He said, if I didn't see my beloved, we know that the beloved of Rav is his uncle Rabbi Chia, who was related to him both through his father and his mother, and was one of his rebbeim. So Rav says, if I didn't see my beloved, my uncle, two chalitza with a sandal that had shinsin, which had laces to it, I would not have done that. I would only have done it with a sandal of an Arab sandal or an Arab merchant, that is tied on tight. I would only use a sandal in which the way that it was strapped on was that the straps were pulled on tight. It was the straps themselves that tied on or held the sandal on your foot. But not in a case where you have these ears that come off of it, and then the lacing within the ears, that I would not have considered to be a sandal, where the releasing of the laces is what allows the sandal to come off. I wouldn't have used that. But I saw Rabbi Chia do it. Since I saw Rabbi Chia do it, I realized that he must think that that's okay, and therefore I do it. But had it been the default, I would have said the shalaf, the shlof, means to slip off, and that means that the sandal itself has to be tight on the foot. That won't be in the case if the straps themselves held it on the foot. But if it was laces that held it on the foot, I wouldn't say that. He says, "V'haydi dan in our sandalim afgal deit be chumrata even though our sandalim have some sort of connection, knotting, that is tied on the toe or in the front of the sandal, and made sure that we don't slip it off or it doesn't come off our foot, nevertheless, katrinin bei mitna, we nevertheless put a strap around it, and here it seems to be a leather strap around it, to make sure that it's a real chalitza. So, truth is that one of the kelim in the kit of a Beit Din, we'll see, is to have a sandal, a special sandal that allows one to do chalitza. And they use this sandal or this shoe for chalitza. This shoe, in order to conform to what all the Rishonim here think, is a mitna, a katrin and Beit mitna, that we put this strap around it. It has numerous types of buckles and straps on the shoe so that it conforms to all the different opinions about what exactly this strap is, to say that when the person takes the shoe off, the woman, when she takes it off of the Yavam's foot, she's being choletz the shoe. And so we are machmir for all the different dayot. But you see here already, Ram describing, or the Gemara describing over here, that our sandal, which even though it has something that locks it on the foot, or ties it, there's a knot there that holds it or locks it on the foot, we gotta go out of our way to do an extra tying on the foot or connecting it to the foot through a strap. So it's clear that when she does the strap, that releases the sandal. And now the Gemara continues. I'm Rav Yehuda Marav. Hatayrat yivamala shuk bishmitat rov ha'akev. That the permissibility of the yivamala shuk happens when the majority of the akev, it's not clear here what akev means, is removed from the foot. Now Rashi over here translates akev as shalon or sloan, whereas by the Mishnah, when he used the word akev, he translated it as sola. So over there, he translated it as being the sole of the shoe, and that's what it meant, that it has to have, the shoe has to have an akev to be kasher. Whereas over here, he translates it differently. I don't know if that's just a misspelling over here, and he's really saying the same thing, or he really means a different word. So a cave generally means a heel, although Rashi again said before that it meant the whole sole. So it's not clear here when they say rova cave means the majority of the sole, or does it mean the majority of the heel? So meitave, who true ritzuot min al v'sandal? Once the straps of the shoe or the sandal have been released, osha shamat rova regel, or the majority of the foot has been removed, chalitzata psula. Then it chalitza is psula because that was already done before she came to do it. So if the majority of the foot is already out of the shoe, then her removing of the shoe is not sufficient over here. Taimo de shamatu. Problem here is that he took it out himself. Ha shamtahi chalitza ta ksheira. If she took it off, then it would have worked. Rova regalin, rova kevlo. But the way that recording over here, tosefta, is that you require rova regal. That's what you need in order for it to be considered a good chalitza. Rova cave, lo. Rova cave is not the consideration. That's not the what's considered to be chalitza over here. Mer says, lo. Hainu rova regel, hainu rova cave. They are synonymous. Taking out the majority of the foot and taking out the majority of the cave are synonymous. Vamai karule rova regel. Why do they call it the rova regel then? De kule chaylo de kara ale dachis. Because the majority of the weight or the bearing of the foot is on the heel. So the heel is for the part that takes the beating for the foot. So when it says that the majority of the foot came out, it's talking about the primary part of the foot. Primary part of the foot is the heel over here. And again, it seemingly is different than the way that Rashi translated on the Mishnah, but Rashi translated sole. Here it seems to be referencing the heel itself. And therefore, the rove of the heel coming out of the shoe is sufficient to create chalitza, and you don't need rova regel, you don't need the majority of the foot exiting out of the shoe. And even though here the Tosefta uses rova regel really means rova akev, and the reason it uses regel is because, again, the akev is the pivotal point of the foot, or the weight-bearing part of the foot. Misayale Rabbi Yanai, and this helps Rabbi Yanai's position, Dam Rabbi Yanai, ben shehitir hu, vishamtahi, ben shehitirahi, vishamathu, chalitzata psula. Whether he releases the straps and she pulls out the foot, or whether she releases the straps and he pulls out the foot, chalitza psula. That's not called chalitza. Ad shetatir hi v'tashmiti. Until she both releases the shoe and takes it off. By Rabbi Yanai, now Rabbi Yanai poses questions about what exactly it means to remove it for a foot. Karatu mahu. Sarfatu mahu. If she rips it off his foot, or she burns it off his foot, does that work? Is that considered to remove the shoe from the foot? Why? What is the safek here? Gluye kara beina vaiko. The reason to take it off the foot is that you expose the foot. So is the bottom line the outcome, which is now you have an exposed foot, and we don't care how you get there as long as the foot is exposed in the end, then ripping it off or burning it off would be sufficient because you have an exposed foot. Odoma chalitza beina veleka. Or maybe the whole point is she has to take the shoe off. It's not the result that the foot is exposed. It's the process of exposing the foot that's important, and that's done through slipping off the shoe or taking the shoe off. And here you don't have that. Teiku. We leave that as unresolved. And then the Gemara says, Baminei Rabbi Nechemia Rabbo. Rabbi Nechemia queried Rabbo, Shnei min alim ze al gab ze. Mahu. You have two shoes on the foot. A shoe inside of a shoe. So now, what is the din there with regards to removing that shoe for chalitza? Hey, chidami. So my first one is to clarify, what's the case here? What's the issue? Ilema deshalafte li'ilai v'koyitatai. If you say that she simply slipped off the outer shoe and not the inner shoe, mi'al amai rachmana v'lo mi'al d'mi'al. Torah says that you have to take it off his foot, not off that which is on his foot. So here, slipping off the outer shoe clearly does not qualify, because that's not slipping the shoe off the foot. That's slipping a shoe off of a shoe. So lo tzricha de kariteli ilai mishalavteli titai. The question here is, she went ahead and ripped the outer shoe and then slipped off the inner shoe, vikai ilai, and the outer shoe is still there. The outer shoe, she just ripped it to get access to the inner shoe, but the outer shoe is still in place, and then she slipped off the inner shoe. So my, in that case, what's the story? Chalitza be'inon, you require chalitza, vaika, and she slipped off the inner shoe. If you have to take the shoe off the foot, she took a shoe off of a foot. Or maybe the end game here is that we need an exposed foot. Veleka, you don't have the exposed foot here because the outer shoe that is ripped is still there. And so that would not qualify for chalitza. Where it says, umiika kai gavno. Where it says, give me a case. Since when do you have a shoe inside of a shoe? This is like some crazy case. Where did he come up with such a case that is practical? So Tosfot asked the question. He goes, you know, with all due respect to the Gemara comes up with some really outlandish cases, and the Gemara never said, did that ever happen? Is that really reality? And it gives some examples of cases that are outlandish. It says, the Gemara should have asked over there, did that ever happen? What is bothering the Gemara all of a sudden over here that it needs the case to be real? So the Tosfot says, Ve'omeri, Devadei pshitele sheyacholiot. The Gemara for sure knew that this was possible or plausible. El mi bayle yumi havya chalitza ki hagavna halo in derech bnei adam linobo. He says, will you ever have a case of chalitza like this? Because people just don't wear shoes like this. And then the Gemara says, no, that people do wear a shoe like this. Gemara is saying that, okay, it's really interesting, but will you ever have a case of chalitza like this? Because people just don't wear it. And since they don't wear it, you're never going to have a case of chalitza like this. So Gemara's answer is no. In. We do have a case like this, which is the Chazua Rabbon and the Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbon and Sar Rabbi Yehuda, the Nafak, the Chamshe Zuzei, and you can see on the side, Mesura Shah says Zugot, Muke Lashuka. He would go out with 5 pairs of shoes to the Shuk. So he had these layers of shoes on top of each other, and so we do see that people did wear multiple shoes, or at least multiple layers within their shoes. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav. Yivama Shigdila Ben Achim. A Yivama that grew up amongst the brothers, in that she was a youngster, grew up with the brothers after her husband passed away. Muteret Li Naseh Lechad Min Achim. She is permitted to perform Yibum with one of the brothers at a later date. Ve'en Choshashim. And we don't worry about the fact. Shema Chalza Sandal Lechad Mehen. Don't worry about the fact that she might have helped out one of the brothers. She lives among the family, and therefore she might have performed a service for one of the brothers, which was to remove the shoes from his feet. And again, at that day, removing the shoes from one's feet was considered to be an act of love, closeness, of a familial nature, and therefore the Gemara talks about a wife removing the shoes of her husband. So it's over here, since she was amongst the brothers and she was like a sibling, she was as if she grew up there. Maybe she removed one of their shoes. If she removed one of their shoes, she performed chalitza unbeknownst she performed chalitza here. The Gemara says, Taima delo chazinan. You're saying that the reason is that we didn't see it. Hai chazinan. If we did see it, chayshinan. I mean, the way that we're describing it now, or the way that we're assuming right now, is that the reason we don't worry about it is because we just didn't see her do it. We don't worry about the fact that she might have slipped off a shoe. But if we did see it, then we would worry about that. Va'atanyo. Don't we have a braita ben shinit kavein hu? Velonit kavnahi. Whether he had intent, and she did not. Ben shinit kavnahi. Velonit nit kavein hu? Whether she had kavana and he did not have kavana. Chalitzata psula. The chalitzata does not work. Ashin kavnu shneim keachad. Unless both parties have intent for chalitza. So you need intent over here in terms of chalitza. So Gemara says, achikamar. Afagav dechazinan. Ein choshishin. Shema kivnu. Even if we see them doing this, we don't worry about the fact that maybe they had kavana. So the implications that are, if they did have kavana, that it would have worked. Vika da'amrein, this is the way we pass on the other lashon, which is, taima delo chazinan. The reason is we didn't see it. Hai chazinan. If we did see it, choshishin. We would worry about it. V'deka tana boi kavana. Didn't they write to say you need kavana? So then, why are we worrying about this? Hani mile. The ishtirue la'alma. That's only to release her to the public at large. Or va'liachim mifsala. But to remove her possibility of performing yibum, that already is pasul from the time they do it even without kavana. So over here, there's two stages to the structure of the yivama. One is her necessity to perform yibum with the brothers, or permissibility to perform yibum with the brothers. The second one is her releasing her to the public at large. So there are two stages. She can more easily disqualify herself from the brothers than she can free herself to the shuk. Again, we've seen this a number of times. For instance, if one of the brothers gives a get, or one of the brothers performs mamar, and then another brother performs mamar, we said before that that disqualifies the woman from performing yivama. That's all at the rabbinic level. So to disqualify her from the achim that we see, to release her to the shuk, she'll still need chalitza. So the same thing over here. If this chalitza was performed, that we didn't see it. If we saw it, then we'd be choshesh. Ah, what about the fact that you need kavana? Well, kavana is if you want it to be a real chalitza and release her to the shuk. On the other hand, if you simply want to disqualify her from the brothers, having seen her take off the shoe from the leg, that would be enough to disqualify her at that point from the brothers from performing yibum anymore. So now, the Rambam, when he brings the problem of chalitza, over there he says, chalitza beino leveina. If she did chalitza between herself and him, then he says it's pasul ki ein beitin. It's pasul because there's no beitin there. Reb Chaim over there discusses about the Rambam, about this issue of kavana that's required over here, and the necessity for edim, that we need witnesses to witness the actual chalitza. And he makes a distinction over here between the necessity to see chalitza being done versus having to see kiddushin or gerushin being done. He says by kiddushin and by gerushin, the witnesses are what we call edei kiyum. They are an integral part of the process itself. In order for kiddushin or gerushin to take effect, you need witnesses there because they are what gives it kiyum. They are the ones that make it happen. Their witnessing of the act is what makes the act into a act of significance. To do kiddushin between two parties without witnesses is no act. So therefore, if you have witnesses there, they are mikayim. They give the act significance. And therefore, the witnesses by kiddushin and gerushin are significant part of the process. And without them, you don't have kiddushin, you don't have gerushin. On the other hand, the only requirement by chalitza is kavana, is intent. As long as you intend to do chalitza, chalitza is a good chalitza. Witnesses are not a necessity for the act to be considered an act of chalitza. The witnesses are simply there, levrure, to clarify for us what happened or to tell us what happened. They are not part and parcel of the act itself. And so therefore, chalitza without witnesses would still be considered to be chalitza, if you do it ben ol beina. If they had kavana, that would be sufficient. That's what the Gemara says here. Kavana is all you need, intent. Intent would suffice. Okay, now you need to do it before beit din, that might be a different lacking. That is not because if you're lacking the act of chalitza, but that's the requirement that the Torah requires you to do it before a beit din. Again, whether that's for presume or for whatever reason has to be done in front of the Beit Din, that's a separate requirement that it's done in front of the Beit Din. But the chalitza itself can exist outside of that context of Eidim or outside the context of Beit Din. So Reb Chaim makes that distinction about the act of chalitza and that the Gemara uses here, the Lashon of Kavanah. Kavanah means the act itself with intent is sufficient. It's an act of chalitza. There might be other exogenous requirements, like it be in front of a Beit Din. Whereas by Kiddushin and Gerushin, the act being done in front of the Eidim is integral to the act. That is the act. Without it, you would not have Kiddushin and Gerushin. And that's how he explains our Gemara over here in terms of the issue of why it says Kavanah, or what Tosafot says over here, Mashmat Beinin Shnei Dashe Mitkavnim L'Chalitza. But over here it says that we have to know that they had Kavanah for Chalitza. As long as we know that they had Kavanah L'Chalitza, we're fine. Because it's not that the Eidim are Mikayimit, it's simply that the Beirure, the Eidim come to tell us that that's what happened. There was Kavanah over here. They clarify that for us, but not that they are an integral part of the act of Chalitza. Alright, now the Gemara continues. Amar Yudam Rav. Sandala tafur bipishtan in chutzimbo. A sandal that is tied on or strapped on with flax, you cannot use it. Shinamar, because the pasuk says va'an aleich tachash, that I shooed you. I'll use the verb, but you were covered. Your foot was covered with tachash, which is leather. So the requirement is that it be made out of skins of an animal and not out of something that is grown from the ground. Rabbeinu Tam says from here, very interesting, it has to be a kosher animal skin because we're talking about a tachash. Vein nira, Tosafot rejects that, and it's not necessarily accepted halacha, but you could be choshesh for that and use a kosher animal skin, but it's not a necessity. And that's because in alech tachash, that tachash means a skin, leather, but doesn't have to be a kosher animal. Where it says, ve'ema tachash in midi achrin alo, we're already going to darshan that to say it has to be from the tachash. It can't just be any leather. Where it says, now ribo. The word now is used multiple times, and therefore it includes anything. Where it says, now ribo, filuko mili, nami. Says then, if you're going to say that it's merabe, everything, then let it be merabe, even flax, anything you want. Where it says, then imkein tachash mayanile. Then why do you have the word tachash? If you could say you can use everything in the end, then what's the point of tachash? So what's the answer? The answer is that it's a balance. That tachash says it's got to be from tachash. Nal says it can be from anything. So I come to a middle ground which says that it can be from anything that is similar to tachash. So it's similar like a klal uprat to klal, that it's ke'ena prat, which is that it has to be similar to the tachash. Similar to the tachash means as long as it's leather, that suffices over here. By mine Rabbi Lozer me Rab, hu shalor vitrisiotav shel se'ar. If the sandal itself is made out of leather, but it's, whether here it means its laces or the strappings are made out of hair, what's the din? Amalei, Melilo Karinan Bey, Va'en Aleich Tachash, says, well, he says, don't we call it here that you are wearing a leather shoe? Gemara says, oh, Ihachi, Kulo Shel Se'ar Na'ami. Says, okay, then if that's the case, then why don't you say it's all made out of hair, that it's fine? He says, Ha'u karka mikre. That's no longer called a shoe that is made out of leather, but rather a slipper. So even though it comes from the animal, that doesn't suffice. So in the first place, he says, look, v'analech tachash means that you wear something that comes from the animal that is not only leather, but a product of the animal. So the hair would be fine as well. So Gemara says, well, if you want to go that direction, why don't you say if the whole shoe is made out of hair, that it would suffice. So he says no, because then it's no longer called a shoe anymore. Once it's totally made out of hair, if there's no leather involved there, then it loses its name as a shoe and now becomes a karka mikre. Karka, as Rashi says, is a slipper of some sort, is no longer considered to be a shoe. Or others suggest that it's like a slip-on. It's no longer a shoe that is strapped on, it's a shoe that simply slips around the foot, and because of that, you don't have a release from the foot. Amalei Rav Kana l'Shmuel, mimai dahai v'chaltza ne'alo mi'al raglo mishlefu. How do you know the word chalitza when it says to remove the shoe from his foot, that it means to slip it off? Dichtiv, because it says, v'chutzu et avanim esher ben anaga. When it's talking about nigaim, it says that if you find nigaim on the bricks of the house, on the stones of the house, you have to slip out, you have to remove those stones. So we see the verb lachlots means to remove or to slip out. So there too, so too over here, when it says, It means that removing the shoe from the ragel, from the foot. Veima zeruzehu. Why don't you say that it does not mean to remove, but rather lizarez? Over here you could say a number of items. I'll explain to you what zarez means based on the context. Which means to procure for yourselves soldiers. So chaltsu over here can mean a number of things. Zeruze sometimes is used means to gird. Meaning that these are people who are sword-bearing. They are girded with their swords. So that could mean zeruze, which means to band or to tie on. So why don't you say it means to put on rather than to take off? Or sometimes the zarez come from the word alacrity. Zeruz means to have strength. Bring those that have strength and those that are ready to do it. So also over here, chaltsu mitchem anashim letzava means bring me, for me, those that are strong, those that are ready to go to war. So the Gemara says, hatam nami. Over there also, you can interpret the word chaltsu to mean shlufe. It means to remove, which means shlufe me beitel the krava. That we want you to take them out of their house to go to battle. So it's not just those that are girded or ready to go or strong, but it means here, take them away from their houses to put them in the battle. Chaltsu means to slip them out of their houses and to put them in the battle. Va'aktiv, doesn't the pasuk say in Yov, yichaleitz ani b'onyo? So the pashtut of pasuk means that a poor person draws his strength from his poverty. That's what you would have translated. So the Gemara says, no, b'schar anyo yichaleitzu midina shel geinom. Don't read it as the strength, but rather as to slip him out. Because the reward for his difficult life in poverty will be that he's saved from geinom. He had his yisirim in this world, therefore he won't have him in the world to come. What are you going to do with this pasuk, which says, Chone malach Hashem saviv l'reyav, the malach encamps around those that fear him, v'chaltzeim, and he will seemingly strengthen them, save them, deal with them. Doesn't say over here to slip out, and v'chaltzeim, that he will slip them out of trouble. So Mar says, no, b'schay y'reyav, y'chaltzeim y'dina sh'gehinom. Again, the idea of slipping out here is that v'chaltzeim doesn't mean to give them strength, he will protect them, but rather it means that he will slip them out of the troubles of Gehinom. Because they are Yireyav, because they are fearful of God, therefore the Malach will give them a pass out of Gehinom. Elohak Tichtiv. What are you going to do with this pasuk in Yeshayahu? It says, V'atzmutecha yachalitz, that your bones should be strengthened. Over there you can't say that your bones are slipping out. It means that your bones should draw strength. And it should be familiar to you, this expression, because we say it every Shabbat Mivarchim. One of the things that we ask for in the Hiratzon is Chilutz Atzamot. Over there, it doesn't mean that we're asking for them to slip out our bones. It's asking for health, for strength. So you see the term Chilutz or Chalatz is used for strength. V'amar Rabbi Lazar, Zu Me'ula Shebebrachot. This is one of the greatest brachot. So you're clearly talking about something positive, not negative. You're talking about strength of bones, not about weakness. Famarova, zruze garme means to strengthen the bones. So Gemara says in the end, in. You're right. Mash mahochi or mash mahochi. The word chalatz can have both meanings. It can sometimes mean to slip off, and it can sometimes mean to strengthen. So now, how do you know? The answer is context. And many times when you have a word that has dual meaning, how do you know what it means? You have to look at the context. And that's what the Gemara says here. Tohocha isa kadacha zruzuzehu. In our context here, by chalitza, if you think it means to strengthen or to tie on, imkinein lachtov rachmanim v'chaltzan alo biraglo, then the preposition that is used over here should not be me'al raglo, from on his foot. It should be nalo biraglo, to put it on to his foot. Ikatav rachmanim biraglo, had be written biraglo, have a mean of biraglo in bishokolo. I would have thought it means only on his foot, not on his leg at all. So, Kartav Rachmana, Mi'al Raglo, Dafilo, Bishoko. That's why it uses Mi'al Raglo to tell you not only is it the foot itself, but the shok as well. Now here it's interesting because there is Machloket amongst the Rishonim about what shok is, but the shok means the thigh area, or shok means the calf area. Over here it seemingly is talking about the calf area because it's the area that's closest to the foot. And that is a Nafgamina Lalocha with regards to shok B'Isha Erva. That the shok of a woman is considered to be erva. So if you translate it as thigh, that means that a woman's thighs have to be covered, you know, to below her knees, but her lower calf and lower leg can be exposed as long as, you know, below the knee is covered. Other than if you think shok refers to the lower leg, to the calf area, that would mean that the lower leg also has to be covered, not just the upper leg. Where it says, Imkein liftov rachmana bim al raglo, then it should have written it in that lashon, which is not clear. It's grammatically a difficult lashon. My mi al raglo. So then why did it write mi al raglo instead of bim al raglo? Shmamino mishlafu, from the context and the way that it is presented in the pasuk, it's clear that the word chalatz over here means to remove rather than to put on. Samarlei how mino the Rabbi Gamliel says one of these, this min, one of these difficult individuals. Again, it's hard to know because of the redaction or the censorship of the Gemara what the min meant over here. Does that mean someone who was an apostate? Does that mean sometimes a code word for someone who was a notzri? Or does it just simply mean an obed avodah zarah? It's not clear because of, again, the censorship of the Gemara, and they changed what the real word was there, and they used standard words. So now he says, you are a nation who Hashem has slipped you off, got rid of you, dichtiv. It says, bitzonam vibkaram, yochud vakesh et Hashem veloim to. They will go with their flocks to go find Hashem. Veloim to, chalatz mehem. They won't find him because he's released them. He's distanced himself from them. Chalatz to him. He did chalitza to them. Amalei shoteh. He says, you fool. Michtiv chalatz lahem. Doesn't say that he slipped them off. Chalatz mehem. They were choleitz him. Ktiv. Vilu yivama dechaltzula achim mide mashisha yidbe. So just like in the pasuk, when it says that v'chaltza mi'agulago means that she slipped it off his foot, the action of significance is only when she slips it off his foot. If he slips it off her foot, there's no meaning to the action because the demand is that she slips it off. And so is over here. Chalatz mehem. If it was talking about Hashem slipping us off, then it would be chalatz lahem. Hashem slipped us off. Then it would be meaningful. But here it means chalatz mehem, which is that they slipped Hashem off. And that act is not an act of meaning because it's us doing it, and we can't get rid of Hashem. Meaning that it's not Hashem getting rid of us, it's us trying to get rid of Hashem, and that has no significance because we can always do tshuva, we can always come back to Hashem because Hashem is always our God. So you misinterpreted the pasuk as if it said chalatz lahem instead of what it really says there, chalatz mehem. Banfilia chalitza psula. When it comes to a slipper, the chalitza is problematic. Lememra danfilia lav minalu. From our Mishnah, it seems to indicate that a slipper or a sock, whatever you translate filia, is not considered to be a shoe. If it's not nami. And we also have a Mishnah that says, in a toreim, when it comes to the lishka, this is the shkalim in the lishka, the one who has to go out and do the chumata lishka, that toreim, that one who's removing the chumata lishka, enu nechnas lo bepargod chafut, he's not allowed to go in there with a cloak that has a hem in it, lo ban filia, not with a sock or a slipper, certainly not with a shoe or a sandal. So you see from here that clearly the anfilia is not considered to be a shoe or a sandal. Why? Not allowed to go in with a shoe and sandal to the azara, because that is a denigration of the kedushat makom. Because take off your shoes because this is a holy place. So too, when you come up to the mikdash, you remove your shoes to go in there because it's a holy place. So the problem here, we know this from the Mishnah and Shkalim, is that we're afraid that people are going to be choshesh that he stole money from the lishka. So he has to go in there in a way that he can't be stealing money. So if he has a hem in the baget, people are going to say, ah, oh, he stuck it in the hem. If he has on shoes or a sandal, they would say he stuck it in there and he snuck it out. So again, the Gemara says, don't worry about shoes and sandals, he won't be wearing them. But on filia, you do have to worry about, because and on filia, he could stick the money into his sock or his slipper, and that's not considered to be a problem to wear in the azara. So here you see, again, it supports this idea that anfilia is not considered to be a shoe. It also might have nafkamino for the Kohanim, the duchen today. The Kohanim are supposed to duchen barefoot. And over here, it seems to indicate that anfilia may not be a problem of barefoot. The Ramah brings down, that was the practice in Germany to wear socks, and that's where it comes from, the fact that the Kohanim still keep their socks on when they go to duchen, even though they really are supposed to be barefoot when they duchen. Firminu. But then we have a problem. We have another Tanaic work, which says, Echad min alba sandal, v'anfilia lo yitayobem. When it comes to Yom HaKippurim, the inui of Yom HaKippurim, it says you may not wear a shoe, a sandal, and an anfilia. Below mi bay, below mita mita. Not if you walk from one house to the other, or even from one bed to the other. All of those are problematic. All these types of footwear. So you see over there by Yom HaKippurim that an anfilia, a slipper, or a sock is considered to be problematic in terms of wearing shoes. Amar Abayi, to eat baked tite, Now there, it's talking about a case where it has soft, whether it's cotton or something nice and soft inside the shoe, umishum tanuk. The problem is that you're enjoying it. It's such a comfortable and nice shoe to put on your foot. The problem is not that you're wearing a shoe, it's the fact that your foot feels nice now. So Gemara asks the obvious question, which is, Amalei Rovo, umishum tanuk, belo min al, b'yom mekarim, yasire. Since when is there a problem of having pleasure on Yom Kippur? There are chamesha dinunim. The Torah prescribes where you have to have affliction. It doesn't say, don't have any pleasure on Yom Kippur. It says, don't have pleasure from washing. Don't have pleasure from wearing shoes. Don't have pleasure from all these different things. Pleasure inherently is not problematic on Yom Kippur. It's those pleasures that are associated with the chamesha dinunim that are problematic. So here, wearing a shoe that's not considered to be a shoe is not a problem, even if it's comfortable. The Torah says, don't wear a shoe and don't be comfortable. If you're comfortable without wearing a shoe, that's not an issue. And that would be the support for what people do today, which is they wear shoes that are comfortable, but they're just not minal. They're not classified as a shoe because they're not leather. Savah, Rabba Baravuna, Korech Sudra Kare, Benofik. And didn't Rabba Baravuna used to tie pieces of cloth around his feet or put like a turban around his foot to protect it and went out? So you see, you're allowed to put things on your feet to protect them or to be comfortable. That's not an issue. It depends on the material by which this slipper or sock is made of. If the slipper or sock is made of leather, then it is classified as a shoe. If it's made out of cloth, then it's not considered to be a shoe. That makes a lot of sense. Because if you don't say this, we have a stira within Tanaic works in Yom Kippur. The Tanya, we have a bride that says, Lo yitel adam be'kurdekasin b'toch beito. Person's not allowed to go around with these thin shoes in his house. So these, as Rashi says, Minalim dakim shnolim tachem minalim avim. Lagin min amayim. These are thin leather boots that you put on under your shoe, and they're really for waterproofing. It's the waterproofing to protect your foot. Avol mitayelhu b'anfilim b'toch beito. But he's allowed to go around with socks or slippers in his house. So you can't wear leather, but you can wear this anfilia. Alav shmina. How do you say that? We just said before that you are not allowed to wear anfiliot on Yom Kippur. And now we have a bright that's saying you're allowed to wear anfiliot on Yom Kippur. So how do you distinguish? How do you do that? Kaseh shmina, kan benfilia shor, kan benfilia shebega. The distinction or difference must be between the material that's used. Leather slippers or socks are problematic. Other slippers and socks are not problematic, shmamina, and that distinction that is brought by Rova makes a lot of sense, because now it will also explain the difference in the bright out. All right, Tanya Kavate de Rova, we have a bright that supports Rova's position. Chalitza b'min al ha-nifram. If he does chalitza with a shoe that is, nifram means ripped, torn, from the word purim, shechope et rov regel. If you have a torn shoe that covers the majority of the foot, you have a sandal that's torn that still fits the majority of the foot in there. Sandal shel sha'am, you have a sandal made out of cork, the shel sieve of bark, bikav hakiteya, or with the piece, the prosthetic that is worn by someone who is missing their leg, the muk, or with a shoe, v'smichata raglayim, with those things that hold up the feet, the person who walks with his arms and drags his feet behind him. So there they used to put something under his feet to protect them that are like shoes that protect the area of his legs. Benfilia shel or with slippers made out of leather. Becholetzet min agadol. Someone does chalitza from a gadol. Ben omeid ben yoshev. Whether standing, sitting, ben muteh, ben bent over. Becholetzet min esuma, or from a blind person, chalitzatak shera. In all these cases, they are considered to be kshera, because all of these are considered to be shoes. On the other hand, aval b'min ala nifram she'enu chufet et rov haregel, if it's a torn shoe that doesn't cover the majority of the foot, sandal nifchat, or a sandal that is worn down, she'enu mikabel et rov haregel, that the majority of the foot can't fit into it anymore, smichat yadayim, those things that protect the hands when he's walking, that he's using to lean on them, o b'anfilia shel beged, or socks or slippers made out of cloth, v'choletzet min katan, or it's a minor that's performing chalitza, chalitzata, psula. All of those are considered psulot. So you see within the braita the distinction between anfilia shel or, which is considered to be a shoe, and an anfilia shel beged, which is not considered to be a shoe. Okay, we'll stop over here, six lines down on the top of Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, and the Gemara is going to discuss more in detail what we just brought in the Braita in tomorrow's daf.